The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
We are privileged today to have Evangelist Joel Doyle with us. He was with us, I'm trying to think, 10 years ago maybe? Maybe about 10 years ago. He pastored in Fullerton before he went into evangelism, right? Did I got that right? Fontana. I always get those two cities' names mixed up for some reason. Greta always tells me, no, one's down this way and the other one's down this way. And so I always get that one wrong. And then he came, and that's back when I first met you all, and I enjoyed the company with them. They're great people to have. In fact, we had Mrs. Doyle with us at the ladies' luncheon, so those that came for the ladies' luncheon got to hear her speak. And so, Brother Doyle, I'm not going to waste any of your time today, so let's welcome Brother Doyle today at Riverside Baptist Church.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it is good again to be here with you today after all these years. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, but just say a word about that song you sang. That's one of my favorites, and appreciate you singing that this morning. Now, when I go to a church and I'm sitting in a Sunday school class and I'm not teaching or preaching, I don't like to be asked questions. I don't want anybody to ask me a question. I'm naturally a little timid. But I'm going to ask questions today, but I'm not asking you to answer them individually, all right? But I'm going to ask some questions. I'll give you information, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat it back to me. You ever in school and you're drilled? Now, I know that doesn't sound very appealing today, but hopefully something will help you today that you'll take with you maybe for a long time and use it for your spiritual good in years ahead. When I was a young teen, I knew a lot about the Bible as far as the stories of the Bible. I'd been in church all my life. I was made to listen in church. My dad was the preacher. And if he saw me playing, he might get quiet. And when he quit preaching, I started looking at him. And sometimes he even called my name, and there were a couple of times he made me come down to the front. So I listened in church, and a lot of my knowledge of the Bible was from the preaching in the church services. And Sunday school, learned a lot. But when I was a young teen, I realized that there's a lot of things I did not understand in the history of the Bible, the Bible history, I guess I should say. And I didn't have things put together. Who was first, Abraham or Moses? I didn't have the order of things, and the history was vague. I knew stories of the Bible, but I didn't have it as a whole. I didn't have a whole picture. And I think that hurts us when we do not understand the whole picture of the Bible, what it's about. And so this morning we're going to take 25 minutes and we're going to look over at an overview of the whole Bible. Now, much of what I'm going to tell you, you know, not wanting to think that you don't know anything about the Bible, but I think that oftentimes we have not put it all together in one particular story. And somebody said, some professor of mine years back said, history is his story. His story. If we don't understand his story as a whole, we're going to miss much of the particulars. If we don't see the whole, we'll not understand the particulars as we should. Now, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says that there was a... God is talking to the serpent here, and he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed there is the Lord Jesus, the seed of the woman. And from then on, the Bible focuses on that birth of Christ and his life than when he came, and then the effect of his life in the world. The seed was the one that was to be born, that would be sinless, born of a virgin. He would be the one that would redeem the world that had been lost here in the Garden of Eden. The seed would be the Savior, and the whole Bible is about the seed. And so when you put it in that, when you put together the whole history focused on the seed, we will see things, I hope, that will help us in our life as we read the Bible ourselves. And by the way, you ought to read the Bible every day, and I hope that you do. I hope that you would also read the Bible in this way, that you would read the Bible and take a book of the Bible and read it through. Don't just open the Bible and start reading, but learn things as a whole and read it through. Now, you probably do that, and but somebody here may benefit from that. All right, chapter 5 now. Now, this is a chapter, if you're reading through the Bible, you probably want to skip over because it's all the begets and so on. But this is a very important chapter. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female, created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And the word Adam means man. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And all the day and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Now the next verse begins with Seth, and then we begin on the generations after Adam down to Noah. And if you would, look at verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord God hath cursed." Now, if you turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 11, I know this seems really dry, but stay with me. Some people don't like history, but let me ask you a question. What if you could talk to your great-great-great-great-grandfather? Would you be interested in hearing what he had to say? What do you think he'd tell you? Do you think he'd tell you how he'd feel, or is that what you'd want to do? Or how's your toe feeling today? Would you like to, for him to tell you that? Or would you like to tell him to tell you what you know, what he knows about life and about what he's experienced? What he's experienced is history. And if he's related to you, you're interested. Am I right? Now, my great-grandmother, my mother's father, you can't hardly believe this, I'm so young, but my dad's grandmother lived in the Civil War as a teenager. Don't you think he'd like to talk to her? He did, didn't he? And she was from the South, and she didn't like Abraham Lincoln. He said to her, "What would you do if Abraham Lincoln knocked on your door if he was still alive?" She'd say, "I'd let him in. What do you think I'd do?" Southern hospitality. You see, those stories are important to us because they have to do with us. Now, where did you get here in church? How did you get here? You got here through a history of people that were saved, that were led to Christ by somebody else, that was led to Christ by somebody else. It's a history back. And you and I are related to Abraham spiritually. And it ought to be interesting to us to know his history. You got it? Thank you. Now then, we come to another genealogy. You know what this is? This is history. Verse 28 or 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran lived before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Now that's pretty boring maybe. But it's not boring if we look at it in the way of our ancestry. And we need to understand it that way. Now, who is Abram? It's Abraham. Abraham. This is Abraham. Now then, go back to Genesis chapter 5. If you look, and we're going to go to another page in the Bible that in just a moment, but If you look at the generations of Adam, you'll find that there are 10 down to Noah, all right? First man is Adam, and 10 generations down is Noah. Then when we come to Noah's family and the generations after Noah there in chapter 11, we find that the generations from Noah are Shem, the Noah's son. We come to Abram 10 generations later, all right? So first man, his name is Adam. 10 generations later is Noah. 10 generations later is Abraham. And what is this all about? Who are these generations? Who are they about? They're the ones that God uses to bring the seed into the world. God takes the other generations of people and doesn't give us the recorded history of them, but he does here. Adam, Noah, Abraham, 10 generations between them. I'm not going to take time. Don't have time this morning. Matthew chapter 1, what do we have there? Does anybody know? What do you have in chapter 1 of Matthew? You have generations, don't you, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Bible has done is take from Adam all the way down to Christ and gives you his full history. All the way back. Can you trace your generations back to Adam? How about Noah? We're proud when we can trace them back maybe 10 generations. We think this is wonderful, came from such and such country. But this is what God looks at and tells us this is the generations down to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what's important. And it's when in Christ that you came to God, and it is in his life that you have life, and that seed is your life. And spiritually, you're related back then all the way back through the Old Testament. This is your ancestry. Did Abraham have faith? Same faith as us? Yes. Faith in what? Faith in the seed. He was promised a son, and it was through that son that there would be one born. And that one that was born would be the one that would save the world, that would be a blessing to all nations of the world. And when his son finally was born in his old age, that wasn't the Messiah, and he knew it, but it would have to go through his son, and he didn't have a son when he got the promise, but he believed God that there was a son coming, and through him would be the one that would be born, that would save the world. And Abraham believed that, and that was counted for righteousness. And when God said, take your son and kill him as a sacrifice, Abraham, the book of Hebrews, tells us that he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead because God believed that there was a son to be born, a child to be born, the seed of the woman, and it would be through his lineage. Are you with me? I'm going to go fast. First man, his name is, help me. Good. 10 generations later, Noah. 10 generations later, all right, now you're listening. You already knew that, didn't you, though? All right, but you didn't know the 10 generations, maybe. Then Abraham had a son, and we talked about him just a moment. His name was Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and Israel had many sons, 12. They became known as the children of Israel. They became the 12 tribes of Israel. Have you ever come across in the Bible the children of Israel? That's where it came from, the sons of Israel. All right? So, first man, I need your help now. I need your help. This is a drill. You're back in first grade, and we're drilling, all right? Thank you for laughing, smiling at me. First man, his name is? 10 generations later? 10 generations later? Abram had a son named? Isaac had a son named? Jacob's name was changed to? Israel. And Israel, how many sons? 12. And they became known as the children of Israel. And they became the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I know sometimes we're sophisticated and these things are a little bit beneath us, but it'll help you if you participate and help me, all right? So we have these wonderful people. Now, where did they go? In the days of those 12 sons, they went down into Egypt under their next to the youngest brother named Joseph. They went down there and lived and became enslaved. They became slaves there. And 400 years later, they were led out of Egypt by a man named Moses. And Moses takes them out in the wilderness, and they die out. Many of them die out there. Moses dies out there 40 years, and then they're led into the land of Canaan, the promised land, by a man named Joshua. And Joshua dies, and the next group of leaders are known as judges. And then after the judges, the last judge, which was Samuel, anointed the first king, and his name was Saul. And he anointed the second king, and his name was David. Now, this is just our history, all right? This is our history. This is my history and yours. Who was born in David's line? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was the seed. You see why God deals with David so much in the Bible? David's the ancestor, isn't he? Spiritual ancestor of us. I'm related to David. Spiritually, I'm related to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, whose name was Israel. All right, let's go back. Now, I'll give you a lot of facts right there, and we're going to see if we can get through them. All right, first, I like this. All right, first man, his name is
Adam.
10 generations later, Noah, 10 generations later,
Abraham.
Abraham had a son named
Isaac.
Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel, how many sons?
12.
They became known as the children of
Israel.
They became the 12 tribes of Israel. They went down under the leadership of Joseph down into Egypt, and years passed, 400 years, they became slaves in Egypt and led out of Egypt by a man named
Moses.
They led out of Egypt by a man named
Moses.
Say it again. Led out of Egypt by a man named
Moses.
When did we get the Bible? When was it started? In Moses' day. Now, wait a minute. How did they know what God said then? If you go back to the generations there in chapter 5 of Genesis, you're going to find that Adam lived almost until Noah was born. Almost. Noah's father was a man, adult, before Adam died. Now, what does that mean? You want to know what God's like? If you wanted to go see your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, which was Adam, he's still alive. You want to know about God? He could tell you. What happened to us? How come we have all this pain and suffering? Adam can tell us. Adam can let us know. Is he an authority? Absolutely. Is he your relative? He's related to everybody in the world. Did they listen to him? No. Just like people today. Is there evidence of God? Yes, but leave me alone, God. I want to live my own life. All right. Did you know that Seth, you look it up. Look at that genealogy there in chapter 11. You're going to find that Seth, that went through the flood, lived longer. Abraham died before he did. If Abraham wanted to know something about God, he had an authority, didn't he? But now then, years pass, and we come to the days of Moses, and the children of Israel say, don't let God talk directly to us. That's what God did when he gave him the law. And it scared him to death, and he said, you go talk to God, the people said to Moses, you go talk to God, and you come and tell us what he says. And he began to write the Bible. And the first five books of Moses were from that authority of Moses talking directly to God and God giving him his word. Now, was it backed? It was backed by great power, wasn't it? Great authority. So when you come to the time of Moses, when he dies, what's the next leader? Turn to your table of contents. I told you I was going to look at another page in the Bible. It's not a scripture, but your table of contents. Look at it with me for just a moment. Now, I know we're sophisticated in the Bible. We have a lot of knowledge. I understand that. But let's get it all together. Let's put it together. What you have is in the days of Moses, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The books of Moses. Then after the book of Moses, what's the next man? What's the next man after Moses? Joshua. What's the next book of the Bible? And I'm sorry. The next book of the Bible is Joshua, isn't it? After Moses, we have Joshua. And the Bible, after Moses, the books of Moses, then you have the book of Joshua. Joshua went into the land of Canaan and conquered it. When he dies, the next group of leaders are, what's the next book of your Bible? Judges. Judges. And we know some judges. Samuel is the last judge, but there's Samson, there's others. And we know many of their stories. But put them in the right place. Put them where they live. And then the people didn't want a judge anymore. They wanted a king. By the way, judge does not have a palace. He doesn't have an army. All he has is God's power. Because God was the king. And Samuel was said, we want a king, just like other countries. Samuel was angry. And God said, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. Now they have a king. And his name is Saul. And Saul is that human type person. And he doesn't treat people right. And he doesn't do right. And he's unjust and so on. God rejects him and brings another man after God's own heart. And it is this man, after God gave them the human kind of king, the unspiritual king, he gives them now a spiritual king and says he's after my own heart. And it'll be through his line that the Messiah will be born. What is this book all about? Is it about Moses? No, it's about Christ. Is it about Noah? It's about Christ. Why didn't God just destroy all the world? Because God had promised there would be one born, and he wouldn't go back on his promise. That's why Noah survived in the family, because of the original promise of the seed. God is in control. God is in charge. And he will keep his word. What's the first promise of the Bible? A seed will be born. Who is that seed? Christ, the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. You know what? I don't like preachers when they get up there and these people up here on the front can't see. All right. So we can get back into it. Let's do it again. First man, his name is? Come on, help me. Second, the 10 generations later? Noah, 10 generations later, Abraham. See, I did tell you I was going to ask questions, didn't I? Abraham's son was named Isaac. Isaac's son, Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. How many sons? They became known as the children of? They became the 12 tribes of Israel. They went down into Egypt for several hundred years and became enslaved, and they came out of Egypt by the leadership of a man named Moses, about 1,500 years before Christ. And then Moses dies, and who's the next leader? Joshua. He conquers the land of Canaan, and when he dies, the next group of leaders are known as judges, and there's 14 of them. And the last judge is Samuel, and he anoints the first king. His name is Saul, and then he anoints the second king. His name is David, and David has a son. His name is Solomon. Now, after Solomon, the nation splits into two, and you have a northern nation and a southern nation. But God's seed is in the southern nation, Judah. That's where we get the term Jew, from the tribe of Judah. And that's the nation that survives the longest, and it's the nation that has the kings always. Whether they're good or bad, they're always in the line of David because of this promise of the seed. And by the way, let me tell you, everybody that got saved in the Old Testament got saved believing in that coming Messiah. Do you remember Moses? Do you know why he chose to suffer the afflictions of God? Because he counted the blessings of Christ to be of more value. And it uses the word Christ. Old Testament Messiah, anointed one. New Testament Christ, same word, just different language. And they believed in the Messiah. They believed in the Christ. And Moses, because he believed in the coming seed, he was willing to lose his position in the royal position he had in Egypt. He came to Christ. Did you ever leave your old world and come to Christ? It's exactly what Moses did.
That's what David did. He came to Christ. Did you ever read any of Psalms and hear how they are about the one that's to come, the one that's to die? Did you ever read Isaiah and read about he believed in that one that was going to be bruised for our transgressions? It's one book, it's one story, it's one history, it's all about the seed. And then the last nation that survived Judah was carried away captive, but God brought them back. Why? Because of the seed to be born. Was it their goodness? It was the promise of God that God would fulfill. Now, if you turned, and I don't have time to do, but you can do it later. You remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar about the beast, golden head, shoulders of silver, belly of brass, legs of iron. You know what God was doing? He was telling that group of people that had become, they were the captivity, and they returned, but they never had a king. They never were until there was a few years that they became an independent nation. But for the most part, they didn't. And when Christ came, they were ruled under Rome. Well, here's what God was saying. The head, the gold, God was going to use to chastise Judah. The silver was going to be used. That was the Medes and the Persians to return Judah to its land. The belly of brass was Greek, the Greek Empire. And the Greek Empire spread the language of the Greek language all over the world. What's the New Testament written in? And what was the common language in when the preaching of the apostles occurred? Greek. And the Bible was written in language that people grew up with. The Greek culture and the Greek language, God did that. And then after the Greeks, the Roman Empire. And what did the Roman Empire do? The Roman Empire persecuted Christianity like crazy and threw them to the lions. But I'm going to tell you, the Roman Empire built roads, cleared the highwaymen off those roads, cleared the seas of pirates. For what reason? So the gospel could be spread and preached all over the world without that kind of interference. You could travel from one end of the Roman Empire to another and not go through anything that would hinder you from going into another country because it is one empire. And when Jesus said to the apostles to go into all the world, they maybe thought they were to go into all the world just to preach to the Jews, but they found out in time that they were to go into all the world to preach to all people. And the Roman Empire, even though it caused great persecution and suffering, it did not hinder, but it really helped. The martyrs were in their deaths were testimonies of the truth of Christ to the world. And they could go and preach, and they could have a common language, and there was an empire that they could reach for Christ. You see what I'm saying? And what are we talking about? We're talking about the king, aren't we? The seed. And who we're talking about his kingdom, aren't we? And there's a stone there in Daniel that's cut out without hands. That's Christ. And he comes and smashes that all of those empires. And let me tell you something. Down through history, it's been Christianity that has won. You know why? Because it's his story. This pessimistic attitude that Christians have today, shame on us. Shame on us. I see a lot of gray hair here today. Shame on us gray hairs for being pessimistic. The younger generation need to hear the glory of Christ, that he's not defeated, that he has won. And look at the Christianity. It started there in the Middle East and spread to the West. And today it's coming all the way full circle, and it's out there conquering, even in communist China today. You know what our problem is? We can't see the big picture. Or we haven't seen the big picture. And when we see the big picture, and do you think that the apostles saw the big picture? They absolutely did. And they thought there was this local victory they were going to win, and Christ was going to rule there in Jerusalem, and that they were going to throw off the Romans. When they saw that individual desire as their viewpoint of life, they were in trouble. But when they saw Christ raised from the dead, and Christ took the Old Testament scripture and taught them what it was, they went all over the world in an optimistic spirit. Even when they were martyred, they knew they were winning. Who do you think gives us this pessimistic spirit? Oh, you say, but isn't there a great tribulation coming? Well, what do you think God might do in the great tribulation? In the past, the great tribulations has sparked the multiplying of truth in the world. I talked to a Romanian preacher. Is my time almost gone? No. In the 80s, the Iron Curtain was still up. Went to a conference for preachers, and he was there. I didn't know him. I sat down beside this man, and he was about 20 years older than me at the time, and I started talking to him. He had this accent. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Romania." And I said, "Were you a pastor in Romania?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Did you ever have to go to prison?" He said, "Yes." He didn't say much about it, didn't want to talk. I don't think he thought it was the worst thing like we think. And then I said to him, and he'd been this country. He was exiled from Romania. The government got tired of him and exiled him. And he'd been in the country for a little bit. And I said to him, "Do you think that we in this country are going to lose our freedom?" He looked at me and glared, and he said, "A Christian can never lose his liberty." He was not pessimistic. He was optimistic. And why? Because these promises, you see it? Begin there in the book of Genesis chapter 3. This was the worst time of history. Man had fallen. He had been separated from God, and God comes along and gives him a promise. And did God keep it? Is he still kept it? Is the Christianity marching on? It is. I'm going to tell you a story about a man in the next service. It'll surprise you and shock you and amaze you. I met a man just this week, what God did in his life. And I want to tell you about it. All right. First man, his name is? Aren't you glad? 10 generations later. Noah, 10 generations later. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob's name was changed to Israel. How many sons? They became known as the children of? They became the 12 tribes of Israel. They went down to Egypt and became enslaved there for 400 years. They were led out by a man named Moses. Moses leads them out. 40 years in the wilderness, he dies, and they are led into the promised land and conquering it by the man named Joshua, next book in the Bible. Then Joshua dies, the next book of the Bible, group of leaders, judges, and judges, blessed judges, Samuel. And Samuel anoints the first king, his name is Saul, and the next king is David, and then David's son Solomon, and then the line of kings that came down through Solomon, and God provided the seed that he promised. And it's a wonderful thing. You're here today because of God's promise. You're not here because you're a good person. If you know Christ as your Savior, you came to know him because of the work of Christ down through history. Miracle, miracle after miracle after miracle. And God brought you to a place where he would save your soul when you heard of the wonderful words of God, that wonderful gift of Christ and his salvation. And you and I ought to be rejoicing and thankful for this blessed book. And this book ought to be read by us and understood by us and devoured by us. And we ought to have an optimism of God as we see what God did down through ages, and he kept his word and he will keep his word. Is he coming again?
But we're just going to suffer till he comes.
I have to tell you something. He said to occupy. That means get busy and preach his word until he comes.
people sit around acting like everything's bad. It's not. Who's in charge? And you've never seen a book like this, and you've never seen a history that this book tells. All right. Are you happy you're here today? Are you optimistic? I didn't get a strong one, though, man. Our Father, bless us. Help us to do right. Help us to have the right attitudes. Help us to have a spirit that knows that you're in charge, a confidence in you. And Lord, we're getting old. What's our confidence? Not going to be a doctor. He's not going to see us through that. All of our eternity can't be. Our only hope is in you and wonderful promises that you give us. They will never give out. They will never fail. May we ever be optimistic and show that confidence and faith in thee to the younger generations, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.